Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that we do what we do because life and truth matter. A couple of the resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. They say we are infidels on the run from ISIS with persecuted Christians in the Middle East, the book written by Mindy Belts. It's an absolute page-turner. She is one of the best writers I've ever encountered in the Christian world. Again, the book available for those who support the ministry. This is important information in that the mass genocide against Christians in the Middle East is squarely in the blind spot of many Christians in the West. Also, the Christian Research Journal, available for those who support the ministry. This edition covers story Jesus in Islam by David Wood. Absolutely fantastic, as a contrast is made between the Jesus of Islam and the Jesus of the Bible. Incidentally, I read a tweet by Linda Sarsour just yesterday. She is co-chair of the Women's March, which, of course, took place January 21st of this year. The tweet was primarily aimed at Ayan Hirsi Ali. She's a Somali-born Dutch-American activist and author. And the tweet by Linda Sarsour, again, co-chair of the Women's March in Washington, is as follows. She's, and here she's referring to Hirsi Ali, she's asking for an ASS, I won't say the word, whippin. I wish I could take their vaginas away. They don't deserve to be women. So why does Sarsour, highly esteemed Muslim feminist, and a reputed model of Islamic balance and tolerance and peace, why does she use such vile language respecting a fellow feminist? The reason is she is a defender of Sharia law, which Ali has demonstrated to be a genuine war on women. As Ali explains, our genitals are being cut. 140 million women have been subjected to genital mutilation, and she knows firsthand because she's experienced this outrage. Ali says if we were really interested in civil rights, human rights, the rights of women, we should not march with fake feminists. And of course, equality, as she has pointed out over and over again, is conspicuously absent in Islam. Because unlike men who can have four wives, Allah does not allow women the same option. Moreover, while Allah allows a husband to beat his wife, there's no such Quranic provision for a wife. And all that is tragic enough. But imagine being referred to in Islam if you're a woman as tilth, a field to be plowed. Plainly put, there is no equality for women sorrowfully shackled by Sharia. Again, the information we have on Islam important, particularly in an epic and time in which people are almost browbeat into saying that Islam is a religion of peace. There may be millions of peaceful Muslims, but Islam is anything but peaceful and tolerant. A lot of you hanging on. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up, Bill. He's listening in New York on the web. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. How you feeling? Better?
Well, I'm getting better each day. Thank you.
That's good. I want to ask you, what do you think of the Greer herd upcoming in March 2017, point-counterpoint forum, featuring Amy Jill Levine and Ben Withington, a conservative scholar?
Well, I think in general, this point-counterpoint forum in faith and culture, by the way, a program at the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, is very, very helpful, because the forum provides a venue in which respected scholars of differing opinions dialogue on critical issues in religion and science and philosophy or culture, even from their differing perspectives. Now, obviously, you have to use discernment skills, but the class that is given from the Christian perspective is pretty superlative. Ben Withington, for example, is excellent. So I like it. Bottom line.
Yeah. I also have another question, okay?
Sure.
What do you think of Charles Stanley, the 80-year-old-plus pastor of First Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, all things charity. I think he's obviously a very gifted preacher. And, he's solidly rooted in essential Christian doctrine. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jay next in Dallas, Texas. Jay is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jay.
Yes, good afternoon, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Oh, great. I just have a question. Being the fact that we live in the modern day era, and it seems to me that we spend a lot of time trying to disprove evolution and prove the facts that what is written in the Bible is true, and versus evolution and how things might have gotten created without a God. My question is this, how much should we concentrate on trying to prove the proof that may lie according to the Bible versus what the Bible describes as just having faith? And so I come to kind of thinking about the scene where Simon asks Jesus, can I see? And then he shows his hand and Jesus says, oh, you believe because you have seen. Versus, the Bible tells us that, the promise to Abraham in that all his children will be saved by faith. So how do you tell an unbeliever that there's so much that you can kind of disclose on look at where the Bible shows and look at some of the artifacts or some of the things that have happened in the past, but how do you let someone know that eventually you have to let go of trying to prove God, and then you just have to allow your heart to have faith? That's my question.
Well, I don't think that Christian faith ever calls us to blind faith, but rather faith in evidence. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 1 talks about God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I myself benefited greatly in coming to faith in Christ by looking at the evidences for the historic Christian faith. And I think that these evidences are not only important in terms of pre-evangelism, using your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or an opportunity to share the grace and goodness of God, but also as post-evangelism, in the sense that when the winds of doubt beat upon your house of faith, you can cling to those pillars and posts. God created the universe, and Jesus Christ is God and demonstrated that He is God through the immutable fact of resurrection, and the Bible is a reliable authority for faith and practice. So we're not called to blind faith, we're called to faith and evidence. And I think also, as Christians, we need to be able to cast down the pretensions that set themselves up against a biblical worldview. If, for example, there is no God, if all is merely methodological naturalism, then what you end up with is no free choice. Everything is fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. There's no right or wrong. There's no good or bad. There's no purpose to life. There's no purpose to history. So these are very, very crucial issues. And in a post-truth culture, I think it's important for Christians to be able to communicate not only what they believe, but why they believe what they believe, and then in whom they have believed. In other words, give a good apologetic for the nature of God in whom we have cast our hope. Because even God is being vilified in increasingly strident terms in our culture.
Right, right. So having faith based on certain amount of proof does not nullify your faith that God may see in a person then?
No, not at all. Again, we're not called to blind faith. We're called to faith in evidence. But the faith that we have as believers is a channel of living trust between a person and their God. I've often said faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So when we place our faith in God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ, that is well-placed faith. For example, on the other side, if you had a concept of God as a law, a capricious kind of a God, that would be a faith that is not well-placed. It would be a faith that is rooted in quite frankly, a nonsense, because Muhammad essentially borrowed a little bit from Christianity, a little bit from Judaism, a little bit from paganism, and he mixed it up in this deadly elixir. He didn't understand any one of the belief systems all that well, and so you have this hodgepodge that is extraordinarily dangerous. That's why, for example, a Muslim will tell you that if you're a Christian and you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you've committed the unforgivable sin of shirk. Why? Because Allah believes that the idea of Son of God is rife with the idea of sexual procreation, doesn't understand the biblical idea a special relationship. So again, it does make a tremendous amount of difference. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mark next, who is listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, on CJCA. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you for your program. I actually came out of Mormonism after over 35 years. And I was a bishop in the Mormon Church, and now I came to Christ about 2.5 years ago.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. What a testimony.
And now the Lord is, and when you talk about Muhammad in Islam, it's almost parallel to Mormonism.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. There's just, tweaked a lot better to look like it fits into our culture here, right? So, anyhow, and I did serve a Mormon mission, and actually I heard you on the radio years before, and I used to spit bullets, and you said things about the Mormon Church, and now look at me. So, but anyhow, I'm now working, I work full time, but I'm working on online on a pastor on a theology degree, and then my question is, after I finish it, because the Lord is leading me in the direction of Christian apologetics, and I would like to know your recommendation. Of course, I'll have to do it online to get my master's, but where would you recommend? I've been told Biola University is a good one.
Yeah, it is. They have a Master of Arts degree in Christian apologetics, so Biola is very, very good. In fact, my second oldest daughter and my son-in-law, who's now a professor at the Air Force Academy, they met at Biola. Also, Southern Evangelical Seminary, right here in Charlotte. They have a distance education program. Faith International University in Tacoma, Washington. So there are a number of really good options.
Okay. I only have another 2 years to get my undergrad, and then I'm going to work on the master's. And probably by that time, I'll be ready to retire out of my career. And I guess we're living longer, so I guess that's another career ahead of me.
Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes I say tongue-in-cheek to some of the guys that I know that are my age that are retired, and they're wondering why I'm not retired, and I say, well, I'm just starting my career. Yeah, and in a lot of ways, that's exactly what I believe. If the Lord gives me health and strength, I want to serve Him with vigor for another 20 or 25 or maybe even 30 years. There have been precedents for that, but God's in control of all of that. But I'm certainly, you know, one of the things that's really cool is the older you get, the more you have to draw from and the more useful you are in God's service. And so the whole idea of retiring is not even in my vocabulary. Want to mention, as we go to break, that I'm speaking at Idlewild Baptist Church in Lutz, Florida. And I'm going to be speaking on Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion. You can check this out on the web at equip.org. I want to say some other things, but I'm coming up to station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Men broadcast and more answers to your questions. Stay tuned.
To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. They Say We Are Infidels by Mindy Bells gives you the facts and real-life stories from persecuted Christians who live on the run from ISIS in the Middle East. To receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. News headlines make clear that Islam is a force to be reckoned with in the lives of hundreds of millions of people around the globe. Islam represents both a threat and a mission field for Christians. To help you meet the challenge, be sure to read two timely articles included in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jesus and Islam by David Wood examines teachings about Jesus from the Quran and addresses the question, why is Jesus so radically different from everyone else, including Muhammad? Then Robin Dale Hathaway explores the question, Islam and Christianity, is a productive dialogue possible? To receive the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
.org. The historic Christian Church has held the eternal generation of the Son formally since the 4th century. But some evangelicals fail to see the biblical foundation or importance of the doctrine. Charles Lee Irons explains how the Church Fathers derived this doctrine from Scripture and why it is essential to both Christ's deity and to the Trinity. To receive your copy of the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, including the article, Begotten of the Father Before All Ages, The Biblical Basis of Eternal Generation According to the Church Fathers, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Daniel, listening in Pittsburgh, Kansas, on Bud Radio. Hi, Daniel.
Hi. My question is basically, when is God okay with divorce? Like, hello?
Yeah, I don't think God is ever okay with divorce. I mean, if you look at the scriptures, Malachi chapter 2, God explicitly says, I hate divorce. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, are you married? Do not seek a divorce. However, as Paul points out, if an unbelieving spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. If, however, the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So the idea is that we demonstrate in our relationships, whatever they may be, true reconciliation. And so we always seek that reconciliation. Now, obviously, reconciliation takes two parties. It takes someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. If that happens, then you can have reconciliation. But in all of our relationships, we should work towards reconciliation.
Okay. What about, like, in a case of, say, a husband is beating his wife every day, what?
Well, I think that it's really important that if you're in a situation as a woman where you're being physically violated and you're in physical danger, that you remove yourself from that circumstance. And so there are certainly these kinds of behaviors that could rise to the level of desertion, and therefore divorce may be permitted. But again, the ultimate is always, from the perspective of a Christian person, to seek reconciliation where it is possible. And so we need to look at that first and foremost, because marriage is not only about psychophysical pleasure, it is not only about propagation, but is parabolic. It is a parable of Christ and the church. And as Christ loved the church, so a husband must love his wife and vice versa, and always seek the best for that other person. We have an article in the Christian Research Journal which goes into a great deal of depth on biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. I highly recommend it. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brady, who's listening in Turlock, California. Hi, Brady.
Hi, sir. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Thank you for taking my call. So after hearing your broadcast for a while, the Lord has put apologetics on my heart. And so thank you for your ministry. And one thing that, as I've been reading the scriptures, I've noticed the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And really, I'm pretty sure that based on the burning bush and other areas, we can realize that that's Jesus. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. But my question was, the angel of the Lord in the New Testament, I don't believe is Jesus, because it was the angel of the Lord has been referenced to after his birth. And in Luke, I believe the angel of the Lord one time is called Gabriel. So what is the language difference in the two different contexts of the Old Testament and the New Testament? And just kind of maybe what your opinion on is on the, who the angel of the Lord might be in the new and old.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You have correctly communicated in the prologue to your question the answer to the question. The angel of Yahweh in the Old Testament is most certainly a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. I think you're also correct in making the distinction in the New Testament after Christ has become Theanthropos, the God-man, and now does not take on temporary physical appearance, but is always physical. He's always God in flesh. And so exactly what you have said is correct. I think it's important for us to realize as we read the Old Testament that we not only have Christophanies, which is the appearance of the angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh, but you also have Theophanies, the appearance of God the Father in flesh, or the appearance of God the Father as a man. You also have angelophanies. Remember the Lord and two angels on the plains of Mamre appeared to Abraham. So you do have these pre-incarnate appearances of Christ, appearances of Yahweh, the Father, and you also have appearances of angels in the Old Testament, but this is not repeated in the New Testament. So good for you. Fantastic that you have discerned all of that correctly. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike in Baldwin, Kansas. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike.
Yes, can you hear me?
I sure can.
My question is about the Iraq War. I did some research on it, and I've been finding some information that seems to point towards its, I guess, illegitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Secretary General of the United Nations, I think back in 2004, it was, he mentioned that basically the war was illegal and that it violated the UN Charter. And I think President Barack Obama referred to it as a mistake. What is your opinion on that, on the legitimacy of the Iraq War?
Well, this is not an area of my expertise, but from a personal standpoint, I would say that it was one of the most egregious examples of an illegitimate war. The many reasons I would say that, but let me say that the idyllic idea that we could establish a democracy in Iraq, predominantly Muslim, is simply ill-conceived, particularly when you understand that in Islam, Sharia is state, and state is Sharia. There is no distinction between state and Sharia. Therefore, the notion of a democracy in Iraq is, I think, a bit far-fetched. And if you look at what's going on in Iraq today, it is simply chaos. And I don't know of anyone who explains this better and is an expert on this than Mindy Belts in the book They Say We Are Infidels. She has spent a lot of time in Iraq, and the graphic depiction of what's going on there, particularly in places like Mosul, quite heart-shattering. And when you read this book, you'll not only get a sense of what's going on and why the various administrations have made strategic mistakes in Iraq, but you'll be ever again remembered or reminded that we should be in prayer for the people of Iraq that are believers. They are our brothers and sisters, and they are facing the most incredible persecution. Hard to even imagine the kind of persecution that they're facing there. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike in Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, there's a lot of false teaching on the radio and on the TV, and there's a lot of people who are following these false teaching. Will they be accepted or denied into heaven?
Well, I think that ultimately is the province of the Holy Spirit. There are people who are genuinely seeking after the Lord, and their heart is to know the truth and to live by the truth. Their predisposition is to be seekers of truth in faith and practice. And of course, that always comes by being Berean, meaning that you test what is being said in light of Scripture, and you hold fast to that which is good. There are, of course, many secondary issues. I was, for example, just promoting two organizations that are largely dispensational. But I very much appreciate these institutions because they are steadfast when it comes to essential Christian doctrine. So on the secondary issues, we can debate them vigorously. We ultimately don't have to divide over them. So I think what's important is that Christians become rooted and grounded in the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and then they can discern wheat from chaff and heat from light.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. And this does not in any way negate the significance of false teachers. I think of what the Apostle Paul said, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. Even from among your own numbers, men are going to arise. They're going to distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. So we live in a post-truth culture. Truth matters, and there are many people who are wolves in sheep's clothing within the body of Christ, and we ought to be aware of them. But the best antidote is to know the truth. I want to read a testimony, which I think is absolutely cool. It's from Facebook, and it's from a church organization known as Swell that has recently ordered the Hankronym flip chart packet. And the Swell surfers meet every Saturday and are really getting a lot, as they write, out of doctrine. I can't read the whole testimony, not enough time, but thank you, they say, for helping our minister be equipped with God's truth as we encounter surfers almost daily and love them. It has been our earnest prayer to be authentic followers of Christ in and out of the water and to be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have in Christ. We will remember you and pray for you at our soul sessions just before our surf sessions down at the beach. The Lord's epic waves serve to remind us of his power and beauty. Thank you for helping us to serve the one found in Isaiah 51:15. God bless CRI. Very, very much appreciated. And I remember with fondness the many times in my ministry I've been to Hawaii and had the opportunity to minister on the beach and in beautiful settings there, in one of the most beautiful places in all of God's creation. So thank you so much for that testimony, and thank you for the people that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth and make all of that a living reality and possibility. We are coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions and, of course, with the quote of the day, which comes from Hersey Ali.
The National Institutes of Health recently opened the possibility of federal funding for chimera research, the genetic mixing of human and non-human animals. Should federal grants be used to encourage more research in this area? If not, why not? Don't miss On Chimeras and What It Means to Be Human in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this.
Has Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. What is one of the greatest lies in the history of the world? That Islam is a religion of peace. To suggest this goes against all that is politically correct and fashionable in the Western world today. Yet truth has always been divisive, and if we don't wake up, the long-term consequences could be unthinkable. That's why we're offering They Say We're Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East by Mindy Bells. To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. Receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. In the book, They Say We Are Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East, author Mindy Bells writes, slashing and burning its way through the Middle East, ISIS captured the world's attention in 2014 with horrific video footage of its militants beheading victims. To Western onlookers, this aggression seemed to come out of nowhere. Yet this clash was inevitable, the result of an unheeded war the extremists had been waging for years. To receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from Ayan Hirsi Ali, who really here is giving a corrective to multiculturalism. She says, in the real world, equal respect for all cultures doesn't translate into a rich mosaic of colorful and proud peoples interacting peacefully while maintaining a delightful diversity of food and craftwork. It translates in reality into closed pockets of oppression, ignorance, and abuse. Ayan Hirsi Ali, of course, is the author of many books, including Nomad, Infidel, Heretic, and the like, and she knows firsthand what happens in cultures that are not equal, that are not good. Wife beating, female genital mutilation, child brides, sati, which is a Hindu idea of burning women on the funeral pyres, and on it goes. Not all cultures are equal. Certainly the culture that Hitler was trying to establish in Nazi Germany is not to be considered just an alternate culture, just as good but different. That is, of course, totally ridiculous. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk next to Jose, listening in Riverside, California. Hi, Jose.
Oh, hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just first want to say that your program has inspired me to leave a church where I was bound by legalism in a Pentecostal church 5 years ago. And thank you so much for allowing me to see what the scriptures really said.
Amen.
Thank you. My question comes about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, where Paul is addressing the spiritual and the natural man. And verse 15 really was really interesting as I read it. It reads, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." And I just wanted to hear what you thought about where it says he is rightly judged by no one. What does that really mean?
Yeah, I think the context is important here because we're speaking not in words which are man's wisdom, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Conversely, Paul is saying that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. In other words, it's not that he cannot be judged, but he cannot rightly be judged. He cannot be judged in right fashion. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. How do you judge the mind of Christ when it is properly communicated? Paul there is explaining why it is that many people do not apprehend real wisdom. That kind of wisdom requires the mind of Christ and is only found in a mature Christian. But the Corinthians were, of course, as we know, very, very worldly. They were immature believers who were struggling because of their immaturity. For example, they were even dividing over human leaders. So they did not have the mind of Christ. Let us go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Marty, listening in Spokane, Washington, on KSPO. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Hank. Just let me preface my question with a statement. For several years, I've been dealing with cancer, lost a kidney, and then went through treatment, and for about a year was clear, and recently been re-diagnosed with like stage 4 cancer and dealing with that. But in that, of course, I have well-meaning friends, family, believers that are kind of frantically look for answers. But among them, always get the word of faith individuals that somehow have bought into the idea that through our words we create our circumstances, and things of that nature. But inherently, there's the suggestion that somehow our faith is lacking, and if we could only muster it up somehow, surely we wouldn't have this problem. But and an individual mentioned to me, and I've had his name come up several times, and that's Andrew Womack. And I don't know, I haven't followed anything Word of Faith. I'm familiar with him, but I haven't followed it for some time, so I don't know if he's in that camp. But I have a friend listening that I was hoping that maybe just address the damage that's done to families, where the idea, like, if you only pray for your 5-year-old long and hard enough, you know, they're surely to be healed.
Yeah, the damage is great, and you're feeling the full brunt of that because you're not only suffering from stage 4 cancer, but in the meantime, you're being told that the reason you have what you have is because you have expressed words of fear as opposed to expressing words of faith. And that is the last thing you need in your circumstance. And the reality is we live in a fallen world. It is a broken world. We're all going to die of our last disease. The death rate is one per person. And so you're going to make it, I'm going to make it, and when we do is in God's sovereign hand. And we thank him that not a hair falls from our head, even through chemotherapy, that he does not know about and care about. And so to add this kind of burden to someone in your circumstance is reprehensible. And I pray that people might get an understanding that faith is not a force. Words are not the containers of the force. It is not through the force of faith that we create our own reality. That's New Thought metaphysics. That's not biblical theology. As I said to an earlier caller, faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God. And faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. So if we place our faith in God, it is well placed. And we trust him even though we don't understand. And that's really where we want to be, trusting in the Lord in the midst of our circumstances. I have had, for the first time in a long time, I've had a cold, and every time I come into the studio, I wonder, why do I have to cough or try to suppress a cough during the broadcast? Why is this going on so long? But God doesn't necessarily answer the why question, but he's teaching you something in the midst of your whys, and the paramount thing that we're being taught is to trust him. Nothing passes through your life before it first passes through the filter of his love. So your sickness is not a matter of lack of faith. Your sickness is a function of living in a fallen world. And so while you are in the flesh, what you are called to do is be faithful and be fruitful. Use the testimony of your life and your lips for God's glory and for the extension of his kingdom. And I, Marty, very much pray that God will heal you and use you as a testimony of his grace. And God can certainly do that. But the fact of the matter is, even if he heals you of this, you'll die of something else if you die before the time that the Lord returns. So we're all going to die. And what we're looking forward to and what gives us hope is that we're going to be resurrected. This body that's now mortal and broken is going to be immortal and perfect. And that's what we look forward to. Now, easy to say when you're not going through what you're going through, but you're living a reality. And that reality is a reality that God cares about. I remember a book that Johnny Erickson Tata wrote. It was called When God Weeps. He cares about your infirmity. And I think that in itself is the ultimate solace, that God knows and that he cares. And I think often about how important it is that when you are sick, you go to Psalm 139, which says that before a word even is on our tongue, the Lord knows it completely, and that he's hemmed us in behind and before, and that he's laid his hand upon us. That kind of knowledge is too wonderful for us, too lofty for us to attain. And so we know that all the days ordained for you, as Psalm 139 puts it, have been written in his book before even one of them comes to be. And as a follower of Christ, he loves you. And while you are in the flesh, your life is meaningful, and it counts for eternal purposes.
Well said. Just out of curiosity, does Andrew Womack, because I haven't seen him or read anything by him, and I've had it mentioned to me many times in the hospital and different places, would he fall in the Word of Faith camp or...
Yeah, unfortunately he would. And you know, I, in terms of the actual principles themselves, and a lot of the people that are the bearers of this kind of theology, I wrote a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, and it gives you all the principles. I don't really deal with Andrew Womack there specifically, although we have a fact sheet on him that is available through CRI.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you for your time, Hank.
You got it. Let me pray for you quickly. Father, thank you for Marty. Oh, Lord, sustain him by your grace. Place your eternal hand upon him. And Lord, may he sense your presence and know that he is the beloved of the Lord. Oh, Lord, may he be a testimony to your grace. Use him for your glory and for the extension of your kingdom, and give him the peace that passes all understanding. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. We'll be thinking about you, Marty.
And thank you for your ministry, Hank. Yeah, keep up the good work.
You got it, my brother. Anything we can do, let us know. Any resources, whatever you need, just let us know. We're there for you. We are coming to the end of the broadcast. You can hear from the music. Do remember that this ministry is a direct function of those standing with us prayerfully and financially. Without your support, we cannot do what we do. And we are deeply appreciative for those who are support team members, and ask those that are not to consider joining. And do remember, for those that give all this month, they say we are infidels. I cannot stress enough how fantastic this book is. You will not be disappointed, but boy, will you be educated. You will know what's going on in the Middle East. It's a page turner, available for your support. Also, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Check it out on the web at equip.org, available for those who support the ministry and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Topics include Jesus in Islam, Islam and Christianity, Is a Productive Dialogue Possible?, Begotten of the Father Before All Ages, The Biblical Basis of the Eternal Generation of the Son According to the Church Fathers, Mormonism, the Afterlife and Striving After Godhood, and much more. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. News headlines make clear that Islam is a force to be reckoned with in the lives of hundreds of millions of people around the globe. Islam represents both a threat and a mission field for Christians. To help you meet the challenge, be sure to read two timely articles included in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jesus and Islam by David Wood examines teachings about Jesus from the Quran and addresses the question, why is Jesus so radically different from everyone else, including Muhammad? Then Robin Dale Hathaway explores the question, Islam and Christianity, is a productive dialogue possible? To receive the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI
and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.